أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is day number 17 of the blessed month of Ramadan, and as we can clearly tell that we are getting closer and closer to the end of the month, and not only the end of the month, which is hopefully something that we're not looking forward to, but what we should be looking forward to as we near to these last days and nights of the month of Ramadan is the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, which is obviously a night, as the Quran mentions, is greater than 1,000 months. And this is a night where we need to spend that entire night in reflection, in contemplation, in seeking knowledge, in trying to work to get closer to our Creator through our acts of devotion and submission to Him. And in today's tradition that we want to reflect upon from our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar ibn Muhammad as-Sadiq, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, he points to something, or some things rather, which will complain on the Day of Judgment against us as believers. And because this tradition has such a great importance to it, let us really listen to it and think about it and reflect upon it in our own lives, and to ensure that we don't fall into the category, as the sixth Imam will show us shortly in this tradition, of being those whom will be complained about on the Day of Judgment. And in this very powerful and thought-provoking tradition, the sixth Imam shares the following advice with us. He says, three things will complain to Allah, the Noble and the Grand, on the Day of Judgment: a deserted masjid in which the people of the town did not recite salat in it; an alim, a religious scholar, who was amongst the ignorant ones, however, the people did not make use of him and his knowledge; and the Quran, which was not read and was left for dust to collect on it. This is a very powerful tradition when we think about it, and we reflect on its sayings from the sixth Imam. He tells us that there are three things which will complain to Allah on the Day of Judgment. And obviously, when we read such traditions, we first of all need to look at our own personal lives to ensure that we are not falling into this category of being those individuals who are neglecting these three things. The first thing, as the Imam talks about, is the masjid, the house of God, which is deserted, which has been built, in which probably tens of thousands, if not millions of dollars have been spent on its construction, its design, on its maintenance, but unfortunately people do not frequent it. Unfortunately, this is a common sight in many parts around the world, where masajid, where religious centers are built, spending tens of thousands of millions of dollars. And when you go into the masjid, first of all, if the masjid is open, then you can go into it. Unfortunately, many of our time, our religious centers are shut, except for maybe on a Thursday and a Friday for the Friday prayers and for some other religious events. But if the masjid happens to be open, if there happen to be, for example, the congregational prayers being established on a regular basis in that mosque, sometimes it becomes very sad to see that you walk into a masjid in which they have spent $10, $15, $20 million to construct, and there are barely a handful of people in the mosque ready to pray. Now, obviously, we accept and appreciate the fact that, you know, many of us work day to day, you know, daily jobs. Weekdays, we don't have an ability to leave work to go to the mosque for the afternoon prayers. Maybe morning prayers are difficult to attend to as well because of many other commitments. But definitely for those who don't work late shift and have the ability to come to a mosque on a evening to recite the Maghrib and the Isha prayers, but feel, well, you know what, I'm too lazy to drive 10, 15, 20 minutes just to attend a prayer. Why not just sit at home and I can just pray my prayers and, you know, head on to bed right away? This is something that we need to sincerely and seriously think about, that why are we spending so much money if our centers remain shut? Or why are we spending so much money if nobody attends the centers except for a few days in the week? No, we have to really be proactive and take an active role in our community, and to ensure that we live in our centers, not just on a Thursday or on a Friday for the prayers or for the birth anniversary of one of the infallibles or one of their death anniversaries, but rather that we give due attention and worth and purpose to the house of Allah. The second thing which is mentioned by the sixth Imam in this tradition is a scholar who lives within a community. However, people don't benefit from his knowledge. He is available, or she is available, to guide, to impart the knowledge which they have spent maybe a lifetime in learning. But unfortunately, sometimes we have personal vendettas or grudges, or we don't agree perhaps with a scholar and all of his viewpoints, which even though may be based on Islamic basis, but maybe goes against our own cultural notions and beliefs. And so many times we see where a scholar will be within a community and people will not make use of him. Yet maybe if somebody dies, they'll call him to recite a program and to speak and to lead the prayers. If a marriage is happening, he'll be asked to officiate the marriage. And all of these sort of, you know, basic things that we do within our lives. But when it comes to religious guidance of how to lead a life, how to engage with society, many times we don't go to our religious scholarship to ask them for advice. We basically do it yourself. We have a, you know, do-it-yourself mentality where we do these things on our own and we leave other things up to the religious scholars. So the Imam shows us that this will be a second individual or second thing which will complain on the Day of Judgment, that he was within the midst or she was a scholar within the community and people do not make use of their knowledge. And third and last point, and we'll end this tradition for today, is the Quran. This beautiful book that Allah revealed to Rasulullah beginning in the month of Rajab with the appointment of the Prophet to the official status of prophethood and continuing for 23 years up until his departure from this world. The Quran, unfortunately, in many cases has become merely an adornment. We, for example, put it on our rearview mirrors. We'll have a wallpaper on our phone with an image of the Quran. You know, sometimes people wear t-shirts emblazoned with verses of the Quran upon it, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to reading the book, maybe if the book is lucky, it will be picked up in the month of Ramadan. It will be dusted off, it will be cleaned, it will be read. But then unfortunately on the night of the 30th of the month of Ramadan, the night before the Eid celebration, the book is ceremoniously kept back on the shelf. The bookshelf is closed or covered and the book remains closed for the next 11 months until the next month of Ramadan. This will also complain to Allah on the Day of Judgment that why was it neglected? Why was it kept aside? And as believers who are seeking to become closer to the Quran and closer to Allah, we need to ensure that we attach ourselves to the book of Allah, not only in these 30 days and nights of Ramadan, but also the rest of the year, that we give importance to the Quran to recite, to reflect, to think on it, and to gain from the light that Allah has to share with us within His beautiful verses. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.